John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. Paul Gregory, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, is here. Paul is helping me understand the strange relationship between Washington and Moscow for the Biden administration. It began poorly with Mr. Biden acceding to a question that was simple but also dangerous. Is Vladimir Putin a killer? Mr. Biden said yes. There's reason to believe that is accurate, but at the same time, it's not diplomatic language. It also sets in train a very difficult time for the U.S. to deal with its allies in Europe who must deal with Russia because of the energy story, because Russia's pressing along the Baltic states, and especially because Russia has supervised, embraced, seen to, directed the partition of Ukraine. Paul, I mentioned Ukraine and the incident on American television because all that points to the fact that driving this is an opposition in Russia that is nascent, an opposition to Vladimir Putin, who is three times elected and probably could be elected for the rest of his life, the way he directs the government. That opposition is one man, Alexei Navalny. Alexei Navalny is now, I believe, outside of Moscow, about 60 miles away, in a prison camp that resembles in some fashion the Gulag, and in other fashions, it's quite mechanical. We're told repeatedly, Paul, over these last days, that Navalny is on a hunger strike and very ill. So I rush first to, what is your opinion? What is your information about Navalny? Is he dying? Is he getting medical aid? Does he want to give up?
Fortunately, there have been visits by Navalny's lawyer. I don't know if the lawyer has seen Navalny. I believe the lawyer has seen Navalny personally because the lawyer comments on how ill he appears to be. So we are getting a little information about his condition. And the result of the hunger strike is already quite apparent. I believe the lawyer said he'd lost 27 pounds and Navalny was already a very thin, tall man. Apparently what is going on is, one could call it murder by rules, because in this institution where Navalny is placed, in this it's a penal colony, it operates according to a very rigid set of rules, which are designed to demoralize and dehumanize the inmates. In Navalny's case, they're applying the whole rule book against him, and in my mind, the most serious thing they are doing to him is sleep deprivation. So he is waked every hour, and he's already, remember, a sick man recovering from a near-death experience. Another rule is that, and Navalny and Navalny's lawyer have demanded that he be taken to a hospital, to a real hospital. But the rule of this particular institution is a prisoner cannot be transferred to a regular hospital unless the prison management has his passport. So for some reason they don't have his passport, so he's stuck there in that prison. Whether he can hold out, whether he can survive this, I don't know. Now what we are to do, I don't know either, because Navalny did have the choice of staying in Germany, a free man, with his family, etc., and decided to return. He was then subjected to a sham trial and is now in this prison for a 2-year, 8-month, sentence. So what are we supposed to do? Ask for, Putin to free him? He was free. So, to tell the truth, I don't see much of a way out of this.
Does Putin gain if Navalny dies in captivity because of poor medical treatment? Is that a strong move by Putin internally and in Europe?
In Europe, perhaps, but what could be worse than what Europe already knows about this affair? Because we all know that he was Navalny was poisoned, and the intent was to kill him, not to scare him. And we know who did the poisoning through this detective work that Navalny did. So Europe already knows the worst, and I guess Navalny's dying could be considered as incremental damage to Putin's reputation, whatever that is. But Putin can easily survive the death of Navalny. The one disappointment that I think we have witnessed is that the protesting crowds have not been all that large. And Putin's loyal followers, who are elderly and state employees, do not like Navalny after years of propaganda against Navalny. So in my view, the death of Navalny would not be a big blow to Putin.
Navalny's organizing principle, if I understand correctly, was to turn Russia into a federation. In other words, empower the provinces. He was in Siberia prior to the poisoning attempt, the attempt to assassinate him by Russian gangsters. Well, actually, members of state security. Does Navalny have a following anywhere in Russia that would take up the charge after his passing? Or is he a one-man operation?
He has an operation. It's a relatively small operation. I don't know, maybe 50 activists, let's say. He is popular among young college-educated Russians, so he does have that following. He might have a following of, let's say, 10, 12%, or perhaps even 20, but he's not moving up into the bigger figures. So at this point, he has spelled out an electoral strategy, which is to use activists to organize votes in remote regions, which are quite unhappy with Moscow. You know, whether his activists can keep on if he were no longer in the picture, I don't know. He did, in my opinion, have the one strategy which could work, namely work where Putin's weaknesses are, namely in the provinces. But that depended a great deal on his personality, which has been taken out of the picture.
Paul, we just have a couple of minutes, and I want to turn back to the potential provocation, false flag, and operation in Ukraine or outside of Ukraine in the Donbass in some fashion too. Completely dismantle Ukraine. At the same time, we have the PLA Navy and Air Force demonstrating quite aggressively, provocatively, off of Taiwan. To your measure, Paul, Beijing and Moscow, is it possible they're working together to test the Biden administration, starving Navalny to death or torturing Navalny to death, provoking Zelensky, and also making remarks about how they're going to take Taiwan? Does that look like a coordination or just the accidents of bad actors?
Boy, you've asked the $64,000 question. Clearly, Russia and China are not close allies, but this doesn't mean that they don't have common interests. And the common interest is degradation and a weakening of the United States is the only counterweight to the two of them. I personally have become quite concerned that there will be an invasion of Ukraine, because it's easy to see the temptation of Putin. Mariupol, which is the metallurgical center of Ukraine, would be next to fall. So it's very tempting to Putin. They may think Biden will do nothing. All talk, the term they use is all talk and no action.
Right.
I fear as well that Biden is all talk, no action.
Paul Gregory of the Hoover Institution, the provocations off Ukraine, the provocations off Taiwan, both instances would be annexations by little green men. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.